Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
That's cool. That's good.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone, for joining us for our second session of the two migrations, Tariq al-Hijratain, a book written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. This is our newest series, halaqa series, since we finished Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba's qasida on Masalik al-Jinan. So we've begun this book. Alhamdulillah, it's been a great first session, just introducing the book, the author, and what we'll be covering during this series, alhamdulillah. So it's my hope, inshallah, that this class will be very beneficial for everyone. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi is just an amazing scholar, and the work that he left for us is just can connect a person deeply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really teaches a person how to make that connection, how to stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He guides our heart where we should be going. And so it's an amazing work that we're studying. And so for those of you who don't know, if you've never listened to my podcast before, the way I normally do it is we take a book like that's originally in Arabic by a traditional scholar. And I kind of read through that book in Arabic and kind of explain it. And so for the audience that doesn't know Arabic, don't worry about that because the book is just actually a guide for us as we go through and study what the author is saying to us, inshallah ta'ala. So let's see, we left off last week in the introduction of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. And so if you're with me on Facebook, you can actually see the book in front of you as well. Instagram, unfortunately, you can't see me see the book as well. You just have to listen, inshallah ta'ala. But we'll pick up right where we left off, inshallah. And this is a point where the author is going to now explain why he named the book The Two Migrations. Where did this title come from? And then we'll move into chapter one, where he begins his entire discussion on the foundation of servitude to Allah, the foundation of our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So bismillah, let's begin inshallah ta'ala. The author, he says, وَقَدْ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ مَعْبُودَهُ وَمَرْجُوَهُ وَمُخَوَّفُهُ وَغَايَةَ قَسْتِهِ وَمُنْتَحَى طَلَبِهِ وَاتَّخَذَ رَسُولَهُ وَحْدَهُ دَلِيلًا وَإِمَامًا وَقَائِدًا وَسَائِقًا فَوَحَّدَ اللَّهَ بعبادته ومحبته وخوفه ورجائه وأفرد رسوله بمتابعته واقتدابه وتخلق بأخلاقه وتأدب بآدابه. So he says, the author is saying, he's talking about a person who has established that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it should be established. And he says here, he says, this person has ittakhadha, has taken Allah alone as the one that they worship, the one that they have hope in, the one that they fear, the one that all of their aspirations, that is the furthest extent of all of their aspirations and all that they seek out. And this person has also taken the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alone as a dalil, a guide, imam, a leader, waqaid, someone to lead us and someone to push us forward. So this person has made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one in how he worships him, how he loves him, how he fears him, and how he hopes. This is beautiful because he says, he's going to talk about this a bit in this book. And the thing that's so amazing here is he says that you make Allah one through worship, love, fear, and hope. And what does it mean to make Allah one in those areas? What it means is that when it comes to love, there is no higher love than Allah. When it comes to fear, there is no higher fear than the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to hope, there is no higher hope than in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, and this person has singled out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be followed and to be his guide. And this person has adorned themselves with the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and adorned themselves with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the author continues, he says, وَلَهُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ هِجْرَتَانِ. And here he comes to the naming of this book. He says, so for this person, at every moment in their life, there are two migrations that they must make. There are two migrations that they must make. فَلَهُ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ هِجْرَتَانِ. For this person striving to Allah, at every moment, there are two migrations they must make. Hijratun ila Allahi, one is a migration to Allah with desire, wal muhabba, wal ubudiyya, with love, with servitude, wa tawakkul, wal inaba, with trust and turning back to Allah, wa taslim, just giving up, wa tafweed, turning over the affairs to Allah, wal khawf, wal raja, fear and hope, wal iqbal alay, and to turn to Allah. وصدق اللجأ والافتقار في كل نفس إليه. And at every moment, feeling completely dependent, every breath, feeling completely dependent upon him. So what is he saying right now? He says, and this is where the name of the book comes from. He says that every moment in our lives, there are two migrations, two places that we need to be going. And the way we can look at this is that at every moment as a Muslim, there are two directions that I'm constantly trying to push myself in those directions. The first one is that hijrah ila Allah, that migration towards Allah. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? Like, that's very abstract. When you say, yo, migrate to Allah, you're like, wait, am I supposed to go to the masjid or something? Like, what does that actually mean for me, practically speaking? So he says, okay, I'll explain that for you. What that means is your desire should be going towards Allah, your love going towards Allah. What is it that you're truly seeking out? That should be Allah. What is it that you truly love? Allah should be that. Be there, ubudiyya, tawakkul, all of these things that he mentioned, servitude, trusting, turning to Allah, giving over, giving up, and giving things over to Allah. All of those things should be constantly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why he calls it the first hijrah, hijrah to Allah. Then he says, wa hijratun ila rasulihi. And the second migration is the migration to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi harakatihi wa sakanatihi al-zahir wal-batin. He says, migrating to the movements and the stillness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, externally and internally. SubhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi is dropping gems. It's just beautiful the way he says it. He says, migrating towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning trying to be like him, fi harakat, in his movements, wasakanat, and in his stillness as well, externally and internally. SubhanAllah, amazing, so comprehensive. بِحَيْثُ تَكُونُ مُوَافِقَةً لِشَرْعِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ تَفْصِيلُ مُحَابِ اللَّهِ وَمَرْضَاتِهِ. He says, so that yourself, you are in line with his way, which is the detailed path of those who love Allah and seek out his pleasure. And he says, وَلَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ دِينًا سِوَىٰ. He says, Allah will not accept any deen except that way, that path that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. وَكُلُّ عَمَلًا سِوَاهُ فَعَيْشُ النَّفْسِ وَحَدُّهَا لَا زَادَ مَعَادٍ. He says, in every action that you do, other than an action that's going in the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and towards Allah, he says, this is just for your own lower self. This is not going to be provisions for you on that journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he goes forward. So here, what is he saying? Let's just summarize this section. What the author is saying here is, I named this book Tariqul Hijratan, the method or pathway for the two migrations. First thing, I want you to know, what are the two migrations that every Muslim has to make? One migration is towards Allah. The other migration is towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So throughout this book, the author is going to be detailing to us, how are we going to actually make that journey? What are we going to do? What are the practical steps that we're going to make so that we can be on that journey? وَقَالَ وَقَدْ قَالَ شَيْكُ الْتَرِيقِ وَإِمَامَ الطَّائِفِ الْجُنَيْدِ بِنْ مُحَمَّدْ قَدَّسَ اللَّهُ رُوحَ الطرق كلها مسدودة إلا طريق من اقتفى آثار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن الله عز وجل يقول وعزتي وجلالي لو أتوني من كل طريق واستفتحوا من كل باب لما فتحت لهم حتى يدخلوا خلفك. The author, he says that Imam Junaid Baghdadi, he used to say that every pathway to Allah other than the pathway that the Prophet ﷺ walked is closed. You can't get there any other way, because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by my might, by my grandeur and majesty, if they came to me from every path, waftahu, and they opened every door, I won't open a door until they come behind you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, you know, the lesson for this for me is like, don't try to find your own way to Allah. Follow the way that the Prophet ﷺ has so beautifully laid out before us. Learn about his ways. Learn about the method that he has taught us to get close to Allah. And that's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah is doing in this book for us, alhamdulillah. So then he goes forward. He says, وَلَمَّا كَانَتِ السَّعَدَ دَائِرَ نَفْيًا وَإِثْبَاتًا مَعَ مَا جَعَ بِهِ كَانَ جَدِيرًا بِمَنْ نَصَحَ نَفْسَهُ أَنْ يَجَعَلَ لَحْظَاتَ عُمْرِهِ وَقْفًا عَلَى مَعْرِفَتِهِ وَإِرَادَةِ مَقْصُودَةً عَلَى مَحَابِهِ وَهَذَا أَعْلَى هِمَّةِ الشَّمَّرَ إِلَيْهَا السَّابِقُونَ وَتَنَافَسَ فِيهَا مُتَنَافِسُونَ. He says that since our felicity and for us to be successful in the hereafter pivots or rotates around being in accordance with that which with that which he brought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it behooves the one who cares for their akhirah that they make their moments of their life spent getting to know him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understanding his intentions towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that this is the highest level of aspiration. This is the highest level of the aspiration of those who went before us. And this is what those before us competed against one another for, meaning knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following his way. فَلَا جَرَمَ ذَمَنَنَا هَذَا الْكِتَابِ قَوَاعِدِ مِنْ سُلُوكِ الطَّرِيقِ الْحِجْرَ مُحَمَّدِيَّةِ. He says, undoubtedly, this book that we're going to study is going to teach us, it comprises of or has in it the ways for you to walk down the migration of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وَسَمَّيْنَاهُ, and we've named this book, the author speaking, you know, he's just telling us, like introducing the book. He says, وَسَمَّيْنَاهُ, we named this book تَرِيكُ الْحِجْرَتَيْنِ وَبَابُ السَّعَادَتَيْنِ, we named it the two migrations and the door to righteousness or felicity. وَابْتَدَأْنَا بِهِ بِبَابِ الْفَقْرِ, he's like, I'm going to begin this book with the chapter on faqr. And we're going to talk about this word faqr in detail. The word faqr is how he begins the book. And the word faqr in Arabic means to be poor. It literally means to be in need. A faqir is someone who's just in need. They need something. They're in need of something. And so he begins this whole book with a chapter on faqr, which means to be in poverty, to be impoverished, and to be in need, independent, to be dependent. إِذْ هُوَ بَابَ السَّعَادَ, he's like, I began the book with this chapter because this is the greatest way to gain Allah's pleasure. وَتَرِيكُهَا الْأَقْوَمْ أَلَّذِي لَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى دُخُولِهَا إِلَّا مِنْ, he's like, this is the way of the pious predecessors, the early generation of our ummah. They began by teaching people what this faqr is, what it means to be dependent upon Allah, truly dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَخَتَمْنَاهُ بِذِكْرِ تَبَقَاتِ الْمُكَلِّفِينَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَالدُّنْيَا وَمُرَاتَبِهِمْ فِي دَارِ السَّعَادَةِ وَالشَّقَاءِ. He's like, and at the end of the book, it's a very lengthy book, but at the end, it's very beautiful because he actually speaks about the levels in the hereafter of different people. He speaks about the different levels in the hereafter. It's a very powerful way to end the book, like level one, level two, level three. We know that the Quran and the Hadith speak about levels in the hereafter. And so he talks about which actions and which type of people are at which levels. It's very beautiful. So he says, I love how he ends his introduction. It's beautiful. He says, فَجَاءَ الْكِتَابْ غَرِيبْ فِي مَعْنَى. Man, this book ended up being, you know, strange in its meaning. عَجِيبًا فِي مَغْزَهُ. It's weird in what was intended from it. لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ مِنْهُ نَصِيبٍ. Everyone can get something from this book. Everyone, he says. لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ مِنْهُ نَصِيبٍ. No matter where you are on your journey towards Allah, closer to the Prophet ﷺ and towards Allah, no matter where you are, he's like, I have something for you in this book. وَلِكُلِّ وَارِدْ مِنْهُ شِرْبٍ. He's like, everyone who wants a sip, there's a drink for you here. وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ مِنْ حَقٍ. He's like, whatever is true and what is right is from Allah. هو المنان. He is the one that bestows favors. فإنما التوفيق بيده. He says, because توفيق is in his hand. Now, I want to explain this word توفيق right here. Okay, many times, you know, you ask someone for something, you know, and, you know, they say, make dua, Allah gives me توفيق. Right? What does this word توفيق mean? You might know someone named توفيق, right? What does توفيق mean? So tawfiq, you say yuwafiq Allah, may Allah give you tawfiq. What does it mean? It's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows all of the doors to open for an action that is for your betterment, for your well-being. And so sometimes that means an inner door, but sometimes that could even mean an external circumstance as well. So the example is like, subhanAllah, you really want to, you know, go to the masjid tonight, right? You really want to enter inside, you have tawfiq. You're like, man, I need to be in the masjid tonight. But it's COVID, masjid is locked, it's closed. So now the external means by which you could do that action don't exist. There's no tawfiq there. The tawfiq hasn't been given. Tawfiq, the word tawfiq means the external means to a righteous action are opened up. And the internal means to an action are opened up as well. And what he's trying to tell us is that tawfiq is purely from Allah. It only comes from Allah. So you have to constantly ask Allah, Ya Allah, open up the doors for me to do righteous actions. And so that's what he's saying as he concludes this introduction. He says, وَمَا كَانَ فِيهِ مِنْ خَطَأٍ وَزَلَلٍ فَمِنِّي وَمِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, whatever mistakes are in this book, they're from me and from shaytan. وَاللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ مِنْهُ بَرِيءٌ. And Allah and the Prophet are free from the mistakes that I've made. You know, I think this is beautiful, man, because in the context that we live in, you know, to hear an author like this, someone like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, for someone like him to say, I may make mistakes, I may slip up, but that's from myself and from shaytan. I mean, I think that speaks a lot about how we have to understand that people make mistakes. And we have to allow people to heal and rectify themselves just as we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow ourselves to rectify ourselves as well. We want Allah never to close the door to becoming better. And similarly, we should never close that door. So right from the jump in the beginning, he's like, yo, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I may make mistakes. And if I make mistakes, it's from me or it's from shaytan. Now, the other thing is, you know, I actually had this intention of gathering all of the scholars of our ummah who were canceled by society while they were living. Straight up canceled. Because the cancel culture is so intense right now. When you start to study people like Bukhari, when you start to study like major scholars, these were people who like were literally, they died in a way that they were looked down upon by many people. And it wasn't until later that people were like, subhanAllah, man, you guys really went hard on him, and you don't realize what he did for the ummah. After he left, then people realized, oh, subhanAllah, look at all of this. So what I'm trying to say is there are many scholars from our history who have done amazing khair, amazing goodness that we benefit from today. But when they passed away, for whatever reason, they were in jail, they were locked up, they were going through fitna, subhanAllah. So he ends, he goes, this is the last line of the introduction and we'll start the first chapter. He says, فَأَيُّهَا الْقَارِ لَهُ وَالنَّاظِرْ فِي. He's like, yo, whoever is reading my book right now, Subhanallah, he's writing this thousands of years ago. And right now, you know, he's like, we're reading it today. So he's speaking to us. He's like, Ya ayyuhal qari' lahu. Oh, you who are reading my book right now, wa nadhir fi, the one who's looking at these words. Hadhihi budha'atu sahib al-musjat. He's like, this is just a little bit. This is just a little, you know, a little something I have. A little something. Budha'atin al-musjat means it's just a little something. Masuqatun ilayk. I'm bringing it to you. It's a gift. Here it is. This is just a little something for you. Wahada fahmuhu. This is my understanding. Wahada aqluhu. This is my intellect. Ma'rudatun alayka. I just laid it out for you. I just laid all my thoughts out for you. Laka ghunmuhu wa ala mu'allifuhu ghurmuhu. You get all the benefit and I get all the blame. Walaka thamruhu wa alayhi a'idatuhu. He's like, you get all the fruit, but all the negative consequences come to me. So he says, فَإِنْ عَدِمَ مِنْكَ حَمْدًا. If you're not going to thank me, if you're not going to be grateful for this work, فَلَا يَعْدَمْ مِنْكَ مَغْفِرَةً وَعُذَرًا. Then at least forgive me and make excuses for me. وَإِنَّ بَيْتَ إِلَّا الْمَلَانِ. If all you can do is find faults, فَبَابُهُ مَفْتُوهُ. Well, that door is open too. And then he narrates a poem. إِسْتَعْثَرَ اللَّهُ بِالثِّنَاءِ وَبِالْحَمْدِ وَوَلَّ الْمَلَاةَ الْرَّجُلَ. He's like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a poem, and the poet says that Allah has reserved for himself praise and hamd. وَوَلَّ an insan is constantly finding fault. This is beautiful because Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah, he knows there's haters out there. There's haters out there. No matter what you do, there's always going to be people that find fault in the work that you do. There's always going to be people that are hating on what you do. So Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he's like, look, I'm the one that took my intellect, laid it out before you for the entire world to read. If I make a mistake, I'm in trouble, but you still get all the gems and all the beautiful things from it. He's like, if you don't praise me, that's okay. But at least forgive me and at least make excuses for me. And if you can't do that, well, you're just a hater. You're just a hater and all you do is find faults in people. And you know what? There are some people like that. وَوَلَّ الْمَلَاتَ الرَّجُلَ. There are some people who just, all they do is just find faults in people. That's it. That's it. The book is called Tariq al-Hijratain by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. وَالْمَسْؤُولْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ لِوَجْهِهِ خَالِسًا. He's like, we ask Allah, this is beautiful. So our scholars, whenever they would write a book, it's amazing. They would always end with this dua, like, Ya Allah, please make this work. Please make this work purely for your pleasure. Purely for your pleasure. وَأَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِهِ مُؤَلِّفُهُ وَقَارِئِهِ وَكَاتِبِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And now he's making a dua for me and you. He says, and may Allah make this beneficial for the writer and the reader and the one who transcribes it as well. You know, back in those days, you didn't just go to a printing press and have, you know, 1,000 copies of your book made. You would have to go and hire someone. Yo, can you make me 5 copies of this book? And the person's like, yeah, it's going to take me maybe, you know, 5 months to do that. And yeah, I'll take care of it. It's a long process. So he's speaking about the scribes who would copy the book over. Innahu sami'u ad-du'a wa ahdhu ar-raja. Indeed, Allah is the one who hears the du'a, and he is the one that is deserving of our hope. وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. He, upon him do we trust, and he is the best disposer of affairs. First chapter, inshallah ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to read the first introduction. We are now starting the first chapter of this book, inshallah ta'ala. Let's begin, inshallah. فَصْلٌ فِي أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيِّ الْمُطْلَقِ وَالْخَلْقِ فُقَرَى مُحْتَجُونَ إِلَيْهِ. He says the first chapter regarding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely free of need. The word in Arabic for everyone is ghani, ghani, ghani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani al-mutlaq. He is absolutely free of need. Wal khalq, and the creation, fuqara, are poor, are dependent, are in need. Whatever word you want to use for faqir, poor, impoverished, in need, dependent. He's like, the creation, that's what we are. Muhtajun ilayhi, completely dependent upon him. That's the first chapter. He says, قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, يا أيها الناس أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله هو الغني الحميد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يا أيها الناس, O mankind, أنتم, all of you, humanity, all of you, أنتم الفقراء, you are all poor, you are all in need, you are all dependent, إلى الله, upon Allah, to Allah. Wallahu, and it is He, Allah, Allah, huwa, He uses the word Allah, wallahu, huwa al-ghani, Allah, He, as emphasis, He is the one ghani, free of need, independent, and praiseworthy. Now watch how he explains this. He says, بَيَّنَ سُبْحَانَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَنَّ الْفَقْرَ لِلْعِبَادِ إِلَيْهِ أَمْرٌ ذَاتِيٌّ لَهُمْ لَا يَنْفَقُّ عَنْهُمْ. He says, see, listen, before we go into this, brothers and sisters, when you study Islam deeply, what it does is it allows you to see yourself in the world from a completely different light and put things in the perspective that Allah and the Rasul want us to see ourselves and want us to see the world. Many times the reason why there's a disconnect between us and the deen is because we're not looking at it through the right lens. We're not looking at it from the right perspective. And so when you read these classical works by such great scholars, what they do is they shift how you think, man. It's so profound. Listen to what he says. He goes, in this verse that I just recited, Allah explains that dependency, impoverishment, poverty upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the servant upon Allah, to Allah I should say, is something that is intrinsic with us. That's something intrinsic with us. We are dependent intrinsically upon Him. That's something about who we are. And he says, la yanfaku anhum, it never ever goes away from them. They are always in this state of complete dependency. كَمَا أَنَّ كَوْنَهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا أَمْرٌ ذَاتِ. The same way that he ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is free of need intrinsically. This is just His nature. What is He saying here? Before He goes deep, He says, look, as a human being, your nature is dependency upon Allah. And as Allah, His nature is independence from the creation. He says, فَغِنَاهُ وَحَمْدُهُ ثَابِتْ لَهُ لِذَاتِهِ لَا لِأَمَرٍ أَوْجَبَهُ. He says his independence is something that is established for him intrinsically, not due to some other thing. Not due to some other thing. Meaning this is just who he is. وَفَقْرُ مَنْ سِوَاهُ إِلَيْهِ أَمَرٌ ثَابِتْ لِذَاتِهِ لَا لِأَمَرٍ أَوْجَبَهُ. This is the key. He says, and our dependency, this faqir, this concept of faqr, being impoverished, he says this is intrinsic. This is not due to some other external circumstance. This is not due to some other external thing. فَلَا يُعَلَّلْ هَذَا الْفَقْرِ بِحُدُوثِ وَالْإِمْكَانِ. You are not in need due to some cause like, oh, you were created or you came into existence. He says, no, you are dependent because that is your essence. فَحَاجَةُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَىٰ رَبْ لِذَاتِهِ. Your need for Allah is something intrinsically within you. Your need for Allah is something intrinsically built within you. لَا لِعِلَّةٍ أَوْجَبَ تِلْكَ الْحَاجَةِ. He says, it's not because some external thing that causes you to need Him. Okay, let me stop here and explain what he's saying. Yo, check this. As a child, he's going to say this in a minute, but I'm just going to break it down for you before we get to it. He's trying to say this. Our dependency upon Allah is not due to some external circumstance, some external occurrence that happened that made me dependent upon Allah. He said, no, by design, your intrinsic nature is that you are ever dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You losing your job did not make you dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were already dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you had the six figures and when you had the four figures, whatever you want to say. What he's trying to say is there's no external cause to your dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, your dependency upon Allah is the natural state and everything else. And what he says next, subhanAllah, I'm just going to go forward here. He basically explains, he says, فَالْخَلْقُ فَقِيرٌ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ بِذَّاتْ لَا بِعِلَّةٍ. He says the creation is dependent upon their Lord intrinsically, not due to some external circumstance. وَكُلُّ مَا يُذْكَرُ وَيُقَدِّرُ مِنْ أَسْبَابَ الْفَقْرِ وَالْحَاجَةِ فَهِيَ أَدِلَّةٌ عَلَى الْفَقْرِ وَالْحَاجَةِ. This was, when I read this, it was just mind-blowing. He said, everything that we think of that reminds us of our poverty, our need of Allah, and we see it as a cause of need, for example, you know, like losing my job, losing family members, losing loved ones. Just think of different occurrences that break you down and make you feel like I can't handle it. All of those moments, he says, those things that make you feel that way are not the causes. They are just the signs of what is intrinsically your essence. I don't know if y'all feel me on this, but this is heavy. Because look at it, like what he's trying to say is, and when I reflected on this, I was basically like, look, many times we think we're good. Job is good. Family's good. House is good. Mortgage is paid. Car note is paid on time. Everything is good. So for a moment, we start to forget our need upon Allah, our dependence, right? But then we lose a job. Then something happens. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh man, I need Allah. What he's trying to say, he's like, no, you were always in need. But that thing that happened wasn't the cause. It was just showing you the reality of who you are. It was just showing you the reality of your essence. It wasn't what caused your dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heavy stuff, guys. Heavy stuff. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, he's a G, man. I'm telling you, the way he frames it, it really shifted my mind, because it was like, yo, right now, everything is fine. Internet is fine. Wi-Fi is good. Refrigerator, mashallah, food is there. Like, everything is good. But don't be deluded for a second to forget who you are. And your nature is dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what happens to us many times is Allah gives us moments. COVID is a big moment. But Allah gives us moments where we witness that reality. He's like, don't get it twisted. That's not the cause. That's just an indication to your actual reality. Feel me? MashaAllah. He says, okay, I'm just going to go forward here. He says, فالمقصود. He says, my intention is to tell you, أنه سبحانه أخبر عن حقيقة العباد وذواتهم بأنهم فقيرة إليه. He's like, my purpose is that Allah has told us in the Quran that our essence is that we are dependent, faqir. The word dependent, really, guys, it doesn't do what the word faqir does. In Arabic, faqir is like, you have nothing. Dependent is kind of like, I'm 18, 17, I'm dependent on my mom, right? That's different. So the word faqir is heavy. It's like a whole different level of true dependency. So he says, kama akhbara an dhatihi. Allah has told us about our reality, our intrinsic need, and he has told us about his intrinsic independence of everyone. فالفقير المطلق في كل وجه ثابت لذواتهم وحقائقهم من حيث هي. He's like, we are completely, utterly in need of him at every single moment. That is our essence. والغني المطلق, the absolute free of need from every perspective at all times is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So listen to what he says. فَيَسْتَحِيلُ أَن يَكُونَ الْعَبْدِ إِلَّا فَقِيرٌ. It is impossible for the slave to be anything but faqir. وَيَسْتَحِيلُ أَن يَكُونَ الرَّبِ. It is impossible for the Rabb, Allah, to be anything except ghani. SubhanAllah, it's beautiful. Now, here he goes deeper. He goes, once you understand this, we're not done yet. Alhamdulillah. He says, وَإِذَا أُرِفَ هَذَا. When you understand this, فَالْفَقْرُ فَقْرًا. Please take notes. This stuff is heavy. He says, فَقْر is two types of فَقْر. فَقْر, again, if you just joined, I've been talking about the same word over and over again. So by now, you should understand what the word فَقْر means, okay? So he says, الْفَقْر like that in being in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's two types of dependency. Two types of dependency. He says, فَقْرُ الثِّرَارِ وَهُوَ فَقْرُ الْعَامِ لا خروج لبر ولا فاجر عنه وهذا الفقر لا يقتضي مدحا ولا ذما ولا ثواب ولا عقاب بل هو بمنزلة الكون المخلوق مخلوقا ومصنوعا. He's like, the first type of dependency is the natural dependency of humanity. You need air to breathe. You're dependent on air. You can't live without air. You can't live without food. He's like, that type of dependency, this is the normal dependency. There's no difference between a righteous person and an unrighteous person. He's like, this type of dependency, there's no praise, there's no reward, there's no thawab. It's just, you're a creation. That's it. This is the first type of faqr or dependency. But he says there's another type of faqr. وَالْفَقْرَ الثَّانِي فَقْرٌ اِخْتِيَارِيٌ. He's like, the second type of dependency is a voluntary dependency. It's a voluntary dependency. And he says, وَهُوَ نَتِيجَةُ عِلْمَيْنِ شَرِيفَيْنِ. And it is a byproduct of two very noble types of knowledge. أَحَدُهُمَا. The first type of knowledge is for the servant to know their Lord. And the second type of knowledge is for the servant to know themselves. He's like, this second type of dependency is a byproduct of you possessing two types of knowledge, knowledge of Allah and knowledge of yourself. Once those knowledges are obtained, then you enter into this secondary, volitional, voluntary type of dependency. فَمَتَى حَسَلَتْ لَهُ هَاتَانِ. He's like, once you get both of these two recognitions, أَنْتَجَى لَهُ فَقْرًا هُوَ عَيْنَ غِنَى. Then he says, your dependency becomes your richness and the means of your success. This is crazy. He's like, once you reach this level of poverty, of dependence, you've actually reached independence. Complete dependency on Allah is independence from everything else. You feel me? I mean, you feel him. What he's saying, it's heavy stuff. I'm gonna say that one more time. He says, "Famata." Whenever you gain hatan and ma'rifatan, both of these knowledges, and tajalahu, they both will cause faqran huwa aynu ghinahu, a dependency which is actually the spring or the core of independence. And this is the way of salvation and success. What is he saying? When you realize, look, the world is going to throw a lot on you by design. And if you sit there trying to hold it all up, push it up, carry it, it's going to crush you. But the moment you let go of it and realize I'm not the one holding it up, that's the moment you become the strongest person in the world. That's what he's saying right now. You become the strongest, most powerful person, the most independent person you can be once you realize your complete dependency upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is powerful stuff. Jim's Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah is dropping on us. All right, now check this. Let's go forward. He says, وَتَفَاوَتَ النَّاسِ فِي هَذِهِ الْفَقْرِ بِحَسْبِ تَفَاوَتِهِمْ فِي هَاتَيْنِ الْمَعْرِفَتَيْنِ. He's like, now, all of humanity, all of the Muslims, they are all going to be at different levels of their dependency upon Allah based on their level of this knowledge, their level of this knowledge. He says, whoever recognizes Allah as completely independent, they will recognize themselves as completely dependent. Whoever recognizes their Lord as completely able, they will recognize themselves as completely unable. Whoever recognizes their Lord to have complete honor, they will recognize themselves for complete opposite of that. وَمَنْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ بِالْعِلْمِ. Whoever recognizes Allah has complete knowledge, recognizes the ignorance within themselves. You see how he's saying, he's like, once you learn this, you automatically will create this about yourself. The reality, the opposite reality about yourself. فَلِلَّهِ تَعَالَى أَخْرَجَ الْعَبْدِ مِنْ بَطْءٍ. So check this. He says, this is where he goes deep. He goes, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the servant from the womb of his mother. لَا يَعْلَمُ شَيْئًا. And this child knew nothing. وَلَا يَقْدِرْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. It could do nothing. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ شَيْءٍ. It owned nothing. It could not give. It could not hold back. لَا ذَرَّ وَلَا نَفْعَ. It could not help. It could not cause harm. وَلَا شَيْءَ الْبَطَ. It couldn't do anything at all. فَكَانَ فَقْرُهُ فِي تِلْكَ الْحَالِ. Check this. Your dependency in that moment, إِلَى مَا بِهِ كَمَالُهُ أَمْرًا مَشْهُودٍ, was clear to everyone. Everyone with eyes can see that this baby can't even hold up its own neck. وَمَعْلُومَ أَنَّ هَذَا لَهُ مِنْ لَوَازِمٍ. Everyone knows this poor child. This poor child. You know, we see something on the news and we're like, man, that poor child. The poor. We use the word poor because we see it. The child could do nothing. The poor child. وَمَا بِذَّتْ دَئِنْ بِدَوَامِهِ. He's like, look, whatever is part of you intrinsically is always with you. وَهُوَ لَمْ يَنْتَقِلْ مِنْ هَذِ الرُّتْبَةِ. He's like, you've never left that state. بَلْ لَمْ يَزَلْ عَبْدٍ فَقِيرٍ بِذَّتْ إِلَى بَارِ. He's trying to say, you today on Instagram, right now, 25, 24, 30, 35, 40, however old you are, you are the same dependence as that baby that was in the cradle. That you before is you today. But you don't realize that, or do you? That's the thing. But then he says, what happened to us? Look what he says. He says, when what happened is, فَلَمَّا أَسْبَغَ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَتَهُ, when Allah showered his blessings upon us and gave us his mercy and brought to us all of these means, external and internal, for perfection, and put all of his blessings upon us. He gave us hearing, he gave us seeing, he gave us hearts, he gave us knowledge, he gave us ability. We could move, we could do transactions. وَمَكَّنَ مِنْ إِسْتِخْدَامٍ. We could hire other people. وَسَخَرَ لَهُ. Then Allah gave us ability over horses and camels. وَسَلَّتَهُ عَلَى دَوَابِ الْمَاءِ. And even the animals of the sea. وَسْتَنْزَلِ الْطَيْرِ مِنَ الْحَوَاءِ. We could take and use animals from the sky. People use falcons for like sending messages and stuff like that, right? وَقَحْرِ الْوَهُوشِ الْعَادِيَةِ. And we could overpower wild beasts. And we could وَحَفَرِ الْأَنْهَارِ, dig rivers. غَرَسَ الْأَشْجَارِ, we could plant trees. شَقَّ الْأَرْضِ, we could break through the land. وَتَعْلِيلُ الْبَنَاءِ, we could build high buildings. وَتَحَيَّلُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْمَصَالِحِ, we could do whatever we wanted. What happened because of that? ظَنَّ الْمِسْكِينَ أَنَّ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِنَ الْمِلْكِ. The poor baby, the poor kid, that poor person thought for a moment that they had true power. وَدَّعَى لِنَفْسِهِ مَلَكَةً. And this person claimed for themselves that they have dominion with Allah. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. You see what he's saying? He's like, look, you were that little child that couldn't move your neck, that everyone saw was weak as everything, like the epitome of weakness. But then Allah blessed you with this, blessed you with that, blessed you with this, blessed you, blessed you, blessed. All of these blessings came, all of a sudden you sit up, you think you're something. ظَنَّ الْمِسْكِينَ أَنَّ لَهُ نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْمُلْكِ. وَرَأَى نَفْسُهُ. Look what he says. And you began to look at yourself with eyes other than the first eyes that you had. SubhanAllah, you know what I thought about here? You know, when we were children, we looked at the world as dependence. We looked at the world as dependence. Like, we understood we were dependent. You know, we would just cry for what we wanted. We would just sit there and just have a tantrum because we knew we couldn't do anything. You know, like, SubhanAllah, you know, I remember one time, I'm gonna share something with you guys that was just deep. I don't know why this moment stuck in my head so strong, but I must have been like 5 years old. And I was sleeping on my bed, and it was the middle of the night, maybe 3 a.m. And I rolled out of the bed. It wasn't a high bed. It wasn't like a bunk bed or nothing. I rolled out of the bed. And on the floor, one of my toys was on the floor. So when I rolled out of the bed, I hit my head on the toy. And it hurt. Like, as a kid, it hurt. It was nothing major wrong. It just hurt. And I remember it's 3 a.m. I just fell and hit my head on the floor. And I start to cry. But there's a moment where I realize, like, everyone's in the house asleep. No one can hear me. And at that moment, there was this realization of your dependency almost. That, you know, subhanAllah, something hit me very strong at that moment where I just kind of realized, like, man, how weak am I? I was very young at that moment. And so what he's saying here just made me reflect on my own self, my own dependency, because it's like you start to look at yourself, you forget your reality. So he says you begin to look at yourself with new eyes, with new eyes. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, it's just really profound. وَنَسِيَ مَا كَانَ فِي, and you forget what you were in that moment when your head hit the floor and you were on the floor by yourself and nobody was there to help you. You forget. He says, وَنَسِيَ مَا كَانَ فِي مِنْ حَالَةِ الْإِعْدَامِ وَالْفَقْرِ وَالْحَاجَةِ. You forget what your state was when you had nothing, when you were poor, and when you were in need. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ هُوَ ذَلِكَ الْفَقِيرِ. It's as if that was a different person and you're a different person. You ever see people who, you know, in the days of poverty, they, you know, they're your friends, you know them, they come over. All of a sudden, they start making bank, they start making money, they start getting clout, and all of a sudden, you don't know them. They don't know you no more. You're like, yo, you don't forget, like, bread and butter days? Bread and butter? Like, we used to eat bread and butter together. You forgot? And they actually forget. They're like, yeah, I worked hard, you know? Astaghfirullah. بَلْ كَانَ ذَلِكَ شَخْصٍ آخر غير. Ibn Qayyim goes, no, that was somebody else. That wasn't me. That was somebody else. That was somebody else. You know, hold on. I don't think y'all get how deep this is. What he said from the beginning was your dependency was intrinsic and any moment of blessings was just covering the dependency a bit. And the moment that blessing goes away, your dependency becomes ever so clear again. So when you look at that old self from an arrogant perspective, you're like, oh, that wasn't who I really am. This is who I really am. The real me is the independent me. Do y'all feel me on this? Like this is subhanAllah. But what he's trying to say is no, your essence is dependence. You on the floor as a five-year-old, that's you. And you today with all that bank in the, and you know, that you have and the status you have, and that's not you, that's me. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Man, I hope y'all feeling this the way I'm feeling it, because these scholars left such beautiful gems for us, man. And it just completely shifts like how you look at yourself and how you look at your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's just wrap this up. We'll wrap this section up, inshallah. He says, اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كما روى الإمام الأحمد في مسنده من حديث البصر بن جحاش القرشي أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بسق يوما في كفه فوضع عليه إصبعه ثم قال الله عز وجل بني آدم أنا تعجزني وقد خلقتك من مثل هذه حتى إذا سويتك وعدلتك ومشيت بين بردين وللأرض منك وإيد فجمعت ومنعت حتى إذا بلغت تراقي قلت أتصدق وأن أوان الصدقة. This hadith is powerful. Imam Ahmed narrates that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I know it seems a different hadith, you've maybe never heard this hadith, but it's really interesting. One day the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spat in his own palm of his hand. The Prophet ﷺ, basaka, he spat in his hand. And there was saliva in his palm of his hand. And then he took his finger and he just pointed to it. And he said, قال الله. He pointed to it and he said, Allah says, O Bani Adam, are you going to get away from me, and I created you from something like this. Like, this was you. Hatta, and then I gave you form. I gave you strength. You could walk around. I gave you the earth so that you could do whatever you want with it. You gathered money. You were stingy with the money until death came. And then you said, I'm going to give sadaqah. But now's not the time of sadaqah. Why is Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi mentioning this narration? Because he's like, this is your essence, bro. This is you. Don't get deluded about your essence. Know who you are. Know your dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every single moment. And that is your strength. We're almost done. Let's wrap it up with these last few lines. He says, وَمِنْ هَا هُنَا خُذِلَ مَنْ خُذِلَ وَوُفِّقَ مَنْ وُفِّقَ. He's like, this is where those who are gone astray, go astray. And those who have tawfiq are given tawfiq. This issue right here. This is the primal issue right here. فَحُجِبَ الْمَخْذُولُ عَنْ حَقِيقَتِهِ. He says, the makhdhul, the one who is off the track has been blocked. Hujiba from hijab has been blocked from their reality. And forgot themselves and forgot their need and dependence on Allah. وطغى, and they become rebellious and treacherous. فَحَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ شَقْوَى. That's why they're unfortunate. And then he recites the verses. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطَغَى. No, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebellious. أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He sees himself as independent. In another verse, Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَتَّقَى. As for the one who gives and has taqwa, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and believes or affirms what is good, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, will make the good and easy things easy for them. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. As for those who are stingy and see themselves as independent, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, deny what is good, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْأُسْرَى, we will make the difficulties, the difficult things easy for them. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Yo, the difficult things easy. Yo, a sinful life is hard, man. A sinful life has a lot of like stress with it. A sinful life has a lot of stress with it. And Allah says, فَسَنُوا يَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. For this person, we're gonna make the sinful life easy. Meaning they go towards what is already hard. SubhanAllah. The life of worship, the life of the righteous is an easy life, man. Worship Allah, turn your attention to Allah, take care of your family, pray, focus, fast, read, like, yo, work out, run, you know, like it's easy. But the sin, man, that life is, SubhanAllah, man. It pulls you. Once you're in, it pulls you more, pulls you more, pulls you more, pulls you more. فَأَكْمَلُ الْخَلْقِ. We're done right now. We're just finishing on this last thing. He says, the most complete creation are those who are the most complete in their servitude. وَأَعْظَمُهُ شُهُودًا. And the ones who see their need to Allah the clearest. وَذَرُورَتُهُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّ. The one who sees their need of Allah. And the one who sees عَدْمِ إِسْتِغْنَائِ. That they are not independent of Allah for even the blink of an eye. And it's this reason that the Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Aslih li sha'ni kulli." Yo, if you're with me every morning, we read this dua. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, "Aslih li sha'ni kulli." Oh Allah, rectify all my affairs. Wa la takilni ila nafsi. And don't entrust me to my own self for the blink of an eye. And don't entrust me to any of your creation. That's why the Prophet used to read this dua, because at no moment am I independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yo, that's it for today, guys. We got to stop here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our reading. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make whatever we've studied here beneficial for you guys. I hope, inshallah ta'ala, it was beneficial for you. I benefit from it, alhamdulillah. I hope you also benefit from it as well, inshallah ta'ala. This is our second class. We are reading the book, Tariq al-Hijratain. I know it's in Arabic, and people are like, why are you reading Arabic? Well, for me, it's easier to read the Arabic and explain to everyone. And that way you're you connect it to a traditional text as well. So that's my intention, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to keep this going, man. Alhamdulillah. So join me next Wednesday, 7:30 Central Standard Time. Jazakum Allahu khair wa ahsana jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. See you guys next week, inshallah ta'ala.